This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run, our weekly take on everything property related. There is a growing realization of the mismatch between millennials' salaries and prices of homes in Malaysia. As a result, millennials are reconsidering whether it is still a wise idea to actually buy a home against the conventional Asian wisdom of owning one. So, should millennials buy a home, and what will this mean to the property sector and the ownership in Malaysia in the future? So, joining me this morning is the city and country journalist, Ethel Koo, a millennial who regularly writes on the subject of property ownership. Ethel, thank you for joining us on The Property Show.
Thank you for this opportunity.
So, Ethel, you and I, we're both millennials.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, I felt that I got in the workforce just in time before the property prices became haywire. Okay. And as a result, I was able to buy a home. How about you?
Definitely not yet.
Okay.
Because I just joined the workforce about almost 3 years.
Okay.
And during that time when I came in, the property market is still a bit low, slow, and prices are just going higher. Some are going like higher and higher. And what I can see is that the government are coming up with initiatives to kind of help the young ones like us to own a property. But I think there's still many things that needs to be done.
Okay.
And at the same time, I think there are still, I mean, the government is playing their role, but from our perspective, I think we also have to have a mindset that when I come out to work, definitely I will not be able to own a two-story terrace house in KL City Centre.
There's definitely that realization, isn't it? So I can say that, I mean, the house that I own is probably not the same size as what my parents were able to own when they were probably at my age, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, before we get deep into this discussion, who are the millennials that we're speaking about here? You know, which segment of the millennials do you think they are facing this problem?
Well, for my stories, I narrow it down to people, young working adults that's aged between 22 to 35. But there are different definitions on millennial age group. Some can say it's like from 1980 up to 1995, 96, this age group that's under this millennial generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for my story, I only focus on age 22 to 35.
22 to 35. Yeah. So, I mean, we represent, not they. we represent 26% of the overall Malaysian population.
Yeah.
And, you know, majority of them are now in the workforce with money and thinking of what to do with it, right? So, do you think that buying property is one of it?
Well, I think ultimately, young people my age would still want to own a property, even though some starting out, come out, they have to rent. But the thing is, it's still in our mindset, Asian mindset, to own a home because it's our culture, it's ingrained in our culture. But if you compare it to the Westerners, they think that it's fine to rent.
Okay.
Lifelong.
Yeah.
And I think the ultimate problem for us to own a property is that price tag, other than price tag, is that Younger millennials, like my age, in the 20s, we have a problem with self-awareness and being realistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by being realistic? Is it more, when you say awareness, is it the financial literacy aspect of things? Or is it more of the understanding of the property sector, the legal system that comes with it?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. I mean, taking myself as an example, when I started working, I thought that buying a house, like 400,000 house, I thought I just only need to pay that 400,000. But I didn't know that there is so many things involved, the legal process, and then of course there's the legal fees, then after that there's the tax that comes after it, and if you buy a strata home, you'll need to pay the maintenance fee, and of course there's the renovation fee, and then you buy furniture, there's so many hidden costs.
Okay.
So when I wrote my very first story on it, my mind was blown. I was like, okay, there's a lot of things involved. And then there's another thing is the financial part. So I remember one of the consultants said something very, it resonates in me. He said that you being qualified for a loan doesn't mean you are financially stable. Because after that, you will need to service your loan. And then after that, there's the maintenance fee and everything. So it adds up to a lot of things. So I think Financial education is important, as well as educating the young people that it's not just, you just need to pay that price tag. There's actually a lot more involved.
So, I mean, that is the crux of your article. When I came across it, basically it's saying that you discovered that there is a mismatch between salaries as well as the price of home, the affordability of owning a home. Yeah. So what kind of property do you think that is currently on offer, and what is it that millennials are looking for?
Okay, so based on one of my surveys that I did, millennials, they prefer to stay in landed homes, and they prefer areas such as Kuala Lumpur and Petaling Jaya. Realistically speaking, there's no way we can afford a landed home in these two areas.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's when the education of self-awareness, being realistic, comes in. So what are the other choices that we can look at? So it depends. It really largely depends on what individual wants. Mm. Because, again, based on the survey, some want a place that's close to infrastructures, MRT, LRT, highways, and some wants to have the facilities. Well, some wants it to be close to amenities like schools, hospitals, shopping malls. So different people has different wants, must have what I call as must have criterias. I think there are a lot of developments out there that is available that has all these amenities and things like that. So it depends on whether you want to look at primary market or secondary market.
So, I mean, I'm curious, based on the survey that you conducted, these group of millennials, are we speaking about those millennials who are urban-based or non-urban-based? I mean, are these individuals that have migrated to the city and, looking for these sort of property, or these are millennials who have grown up in the city and, of course, not wanting to change the status quo?
The ones that I speak to are mainly in the urban areas, yeah. But for me, I grew up in a non-urban area, Shah Alam.
Mm.
Yeah, so I didn't really experience much of the city life. But there are some that really grew up in Cheras, PJ, KL area. So obviously, when you grew up in that area, you're familiar with that area. Then probably you would want to continue staying there in that area.
Mm.
But for me, I don't mind staying a little bit further because I'm used to suburban areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's talk about the price range that millennials could probably afford. We're talking about the price range of perhaps between 300,000 to 500,000. And that is also defined as the affordable home by the government as well.
Yeah.
So with that price range, if we're looking at living in the city itself, we're speaking of a property that probably categorized as a studio or single bedroom. How do millennials feel about these homes? Why is it not a viable option in comparison to what you discovered, which is they want a landed property?
Well, the survey says that they want a landed property is mainly because there's more space.
Okay, so it's space.
Yeah, it's space.
Comfort.
Yeah, comfort, space. But the thing is, in this 22 to 35 years old age group, different age group go through different phases. Like for me, I just came out to work. I'm single. I'm young. I can totally go for a studio apartment because I'm one person. But when you progress in life, you will start to, get married, have kids. So that's when the studio apartment would not be viable anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you will move on to bigger units.
So it's seen more of a short term. I mean, a studio and single bedrooms are more suitable for short term, but everyone is, something like property is something that you want to own for the long run.
Yeah.
And something that could fit your lifestyle, the size of your family for the next 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay, in the meantime, you are listening to The Property Show with Ethel Koo, agent, Liz from City and Country of the Edge, Malaysia. We'll have more on The Property Show after these messages, so stay with us on BFM 89.9. If you've just joined us, this is The Property Show. I'm joined by Ethel Koo, agent, Liz from City and Country of the Edge, Malaysia. Today, I speak to Ethel on millennials' dilemma on buying a home. So, Ethel, as a result of not being able to buy a home, what are some of the alternative trends that you discovered as a result of millennials not being able to buy a home?
Well, the other obvious choice when you can't buy is to rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is also another trend that's coming up that one of the consultants pointed out is the co-living culture.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we have the co-working culture. So now we are slowly kind of moving into the co-living culture.
What is the difference between co-living and renting?
Co-living, in a way, you still kind of buy your own unit, but it could be cheaper because the unit will be smaller and any other amenities, you share it with everyone. So there's like a community space for you.
So it's like a hostel living.
In a way, it's kind of like a hostel kind of concept.
And there are a number of properties out there that are tuned towards co-living spaces? Yeah.
For now, from what I know, is that it's slowly starting to come out, this trend. I've spoken to a couple of developers where they are moving in this direction. They are looking into this direction. But whether there is existing developments that's doing co-living, I'm not that sure about that.
Okay. Yeah, it's more like a communal living you know, you have certain spaces, but you have shared spaces, like you mentioned.
Yeah, it's something like co-working, where each one have their own desk, but in a way, you share everything else, like the printing system and the pantry and everything. So just put working into living.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess where I'm coming at is that now that besides renting, besides communal living, how about those who just decide not to leave their parents' home? Is that an option that people go for?
This one, I'm not that sure because I didn't look into that area. Mm. But for myself, I'm still living with my parents.
Yeah.
Number one, because it's definitely cheaper.
Yeah, of course.
Secondly, it's because my parents, they are very Asian culture mindset. So Asian families, usually parents don't really want their children to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let them go. So, yeah, I did suggest to my mother once that I would like to move out closer to the Damansara area, rent a room here because it's easier for me to go to work and I don't need to travel so far. But she wasn't really into that idea, mainly because she said the cost would be higher. But I think secretly, she just doesn't want me to leave the home.
Fair enough. And I think it's the case of the Asian family. So, I mean, so it comes back to that question. Why is it important for us to buy a home? I mean, basically, we still have roof over our heads. Renting is also an option. Co-living is a trend that is growing, as you mentioned, or it's picking up in that sense. So what does this mean to the millennial generation? What's the future implication do you foresee as a result of this trend continuing?
From what I can see, my personal opinion is that either we continue living with our parents and because to me, I felt that moving out is a kind of like an achievement, independence.
It's opening a new chapter.
You feel like you have really left the nest.
Mm.
I know there are friends that really wants to move out and to be more independent, to rely on themselves because parents are growing old and you really don't feel like you want to rely on them all the time.
Mm.
But it's always the financial restrictions that's restricting us. So if the property prices continue to rise, I think we are really slowly moving into the renting culture where, you know, one of the consultants again did mention that, you know, now we have Grab and, you know, and there's MRT, LRT, and people are not buying their own car anymore. So he sees in maybe 15 to 20 years time, property would move into something like that, where people will be more renting than buying their own home because he really don't see any problem with renting for a lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah, because you have more freedom.
Okay, so what comes, like you mentioned, is part of growing up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's part of, I guess some people see it as wanting to gain independence, as a way to be a bit more independent with regards to how they conduct their life. You know, is it worth getting into debt to learn all this? Like you said, there's a lot of things that come into buying a property.
For me personally, I think it is a good lesson because it would really teach me to plan my finances really carefully and properly. Like for now, I live under my parents' roof and I probably sometimes when I see like a dress that I really want to buy and it costs a bomb, I was still like, never mind, you know, I'm still, you know, I'm at home. I don't have any other commitments. Then I'll just go and buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you buy a home, because it's a long-term commitment, 30 years, 35 years, and you just can't simply, you know, buy things just at a snap.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I think this is one, for me, I personally think that this is one of the important lessons that we can learn from buying a property.
Okay, so at the same time, you don't want to make that mistake, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you don't want to fall prey into some false advertising and so forth. So it's a big commitment, as you mentioned. Yep. So do you think that there's enough support out there, for example, NGOs or different agencies, neutral agencies that can give advice to millennials with regards to pros and cons of owning a property? In that sense.
This one, I'm not that sure of any neutral NGOs or whatever not. But the thing is, I do know that there are property gurus out there that give talks and seminars. And even our own, the age, we have our own property investment forums, although that one focuses more on investment. But it still gives an insight on the property market. And whether or not all these topics and all these talks and seminars, do they really focus on the millennial? I'm not sure. Maybe bits and pieces there is.
Yeah,
but I think right now there's Google, there's internet, and there's a lot of information out there at the palm of our hands. So I think ultimately we just have to take the initiative to just go and Google, click on it, read articles, and probably talk to property consultants or real estate agents, if we know any. The best one would be talking to our parents or even people around us that's already bought a property. They are the ones that have first-hand experience.
Okay.
They could guide us.
All right. So I think out of all those options, I think parents would be my choice. Because the concern is that always when you approach a real estate agent or a property developer, for an example, I mean, of course, despite the good advice that they give you, it's more inclined towards, at the end of the day, the objective is to sell you the property. And that's always been the concern, is that whether or not whether feasibility study has been conducted, at least on your part, whether or not at the end of the day, when you take up those property, whether you can afford it.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I think another consultant spoke to me, he made a really good point, is that you always have to do your research. No matter what other people say, even your parents or whatever not, you really still need to do your own research. If you think that, you know, this place is really worth buying, go on iProperty or, you know, hprop.my, look at the property transactions, and then maybe even personally drive to that area and take a look at the surrounding area and ask yourself whether you want to stay in that area for a long time.
During the course of your research or survey, did you find out what are some of the common mistakes that millennials probably went through when they're looking at buying a property?
I think that one of the common mistakes is that we always focus on experience and lifestyle and enjoying myself in the short term. And they would spend more on traveling, vacations. And of course, there are other expenses such as food and maybe those that's already renting, you have the rentals. So I think one of the common mistakes is that we don't have enough financial education.
Okay.
Yeah, and we sometimes only think about the short term and not the long term. We don't see the long term.
Okay. But so, can I just understand that even better? I mean, when you say going for vacation, some of it, we're talking about being responsible financially in that sense. Are we saying that once they've undertaken the commitment of owning a home, that's they still maintain the same lifestyle that they had before they own a property, as a result they cannot commit? Is that the mistake, or is it a mistake of going on vacation, so hence they are not able to save money and eventually own a home?
The latter.
Yeah. Okay, one last question. From a millennial to another millennial, should millennials buy a home today?
This is no straightforward yes or no question.
Sure.
There's a no answer. But if you think that you are financially stable, and you can afford not only to repay the loan, service the loan, but at the same time you can deal with all the other expenses that comes along with a house, such as, like I said before, maintenance fee and all that, and of course your own, maybe there's car loans, your family, maybe there's family commitments and things like that. Yeah, sure, go ahead, you know. Definitely, if you really think that owning a home is what your dream is, then yeah, chase it and go ahead for it. But if you think that you want to buy it, but your financial is just like, maybe not, I would say better not first, yeah, until you're more stable.
On that note, Ethel, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Thank you so much for this.
You've been listening to The Property Show, and I've been speaking to Ethel Koo, the journalist for City and Country of the Edge, Malaysia. If you have any suggestions on topics you would like us to discuss on The Property Show, you can send them our way via email. Our address is property@bfm.my, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.